Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ethiopian Adoptees, Unapologetically Unfiltered. I'm so glad you could join me. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of the interview with Aptamu. And I just wanted to, you know, just put out another warning, just a friendly reminder that, you know, our conversation does consist of, you know, talking about triggering topics such as, drug abuse, drug use, violence, and things of that sort, which I know many adoptees can relate to, and it can be a lot to process. And so maybe you want to save this episode for another time, or perhaps you don't want to listen to it at all, which, you know, I totally understand both. So I just wanted to give you guys that heads up. And please enjoy the rest of the interview. Thank you.
Yeah, I just already assumed, like, you know, I could see how this goes, and I don't want to bond over somebody that I know I'm not going to be able to live with or see again. So part of that was just that, where I just said fuck it. I mean, there was no point. And eventually I was right, because I only lasted about 3 weeks before I got moved down again. Right. And then once I moved down, it gets pretty interesting here. It's kinda work of God, like so I moved down to Dakota County, where I was legally supposed to be by the court order. Mm-hmm. And so I get placed in the foster care house in Randolph, Minnesota. It's like far south you can get from Dakota County. So I went from north end to Minnesota to south end, which it was like almost the same difference, except there was just, there's like 4,000 people in this town, and couldn't find one black person, one Mexican person. Mm. Like, you couldn't find anybody besides just farmers. Mm. And that I didn't, like, I wasn't used. I mean, yes, I was farming in Ethiopia. I had my animals. I took care of my stuff. Like, you know, I wasn't, like, clueless to that, but it was just how the way the things were done. And you can tell, like, they were super, like, knit together community. Everybody knows everybody, you know. They're all interconnected, like, and there's just me. And anyway, so I was there, so I got placed here, and these people were a little older. This is my third house and final house. And they were older, and at this point, you know, I know everything. I've pretty much, you know, I've known all the things, what to expect, what to not to do, or what to do, you know. Like, at this point, I'm almost like, I'm just sick and tired of, you know, like, just the pain, the moving, the no connection, like, to my own culture, to my own people, or even people in the U.S. I had no place, you know. Like, I just felt like, I don't know, like, you know, I just started reflecting on my past, and like started getting angry about things I can't even necessarily be angry about, like, you know, asking God, like, why this, why me, why my parents died, like, well, why couldn't I stay in Ethiopia, like, is this really a better life for me, like, these people, why'd you let them talk to my grandma like that? You know, I was at that point, it was just me against me, the world, and God. That's where I kind of start finding God, even though I've always known God in a way, but I started, you know, digging deeper into that. And time goes on, this third family that I got put in foster care, They had no biological kids. Well, they were older, so all their biological kids were out of their house, and they were in a scattered around the country. But they did have two kids. They were two American kids they adopted, like half siblings. And so one was girl, one was guy. The guy was like about 3, 4 years older than me. And you know, they were actually really chill. They kind of been through some abusive, you know, drug related crazy sh of their own story. So, you know, they were mellow. They weren't like my first siblings or anything like that. So, not I didn't really get I didn't bond or connect or anything with them, but I got along with them. Like they weren't, you know, bullying me, and you know, I obviously I wasn't like I don't I've never really gone out of my way to harm somebody unless there is reasons why I will, but like unless you know I'm not bothered, I never did. And so therefore we kind of got along, just initially we were there. And these parents, they were I didn't know what to think of them at first. At this point, I'm just trying to get a job, get a phone, get a car, get a license, and go to school all at the same time. Because now I'm actually in public school in Randolph, Minnesota. And so Randolph is actually a little different than that 4,000. I only had like 100 kids in my grade, and that was the biggest grade in school. And so just adjusting to public schools, all white school, it was like pretty much just brought me back to like, you know, like why do I even care? Like, do I even want to be in school? Do I need to be in school? Like at this point, I'm just trying to figure out like how to get back to Ethiopia. Therefore, my only goal is to get a job so I can get technology, so I can find some sort of contact or connections or a way to get back. So, you know, like with all that going on, like, I mean, I graduated high school. Like, eventually, like, I started trying after my freshman year, but I didn't really even like. I wasn't present. Like I didn't care about anything. I didn't, because the you know even the thoughts, even the things they were teaching in school was so bullshit. Like the history, I was like, really? Like who? It just it was like, you know, it's just all this Americanized, you know, polished history of, you know, they just tell you and you just gotta believe it. Like you can't ask them anything. And like and I knew that to a certain degree that like some of the stuff they were saying was just fucking ignorance. And I like especially when they were talking about Africa and like the things they were saying, and I was like okay whatever. I mean so I just you know didn't care. And eventually I started getting, you know, more used to these people. I started talking to them, and their names was Jim and Jody. They asked me, they're like, "So do you have any siblings?" I said, "Yes, I had one sister." And you know, the foster care system doesn't really, they don't tell you or explain to you a whole lot of anything, because it's just a corrupt system, just like the adoption system. And it's, you know, it's all money laundering bullshit. Like just as you know, pass it on like to another guy or to another family, or it's like get me off your hands, get me off your hands type of deal like that. So they don't really tell they didn't tell them anything, as long as they just got us off their hands and they get their paycheck, that's just good enough for them. And you know you nothing you can do about that. So and then I realized like these guys didn't know a lot of things of that happened, or Because they clearly didn't know my I had a sister, like, you know, they had no idea about anything. So I kind of told, I didn't tell them any everything, but I told them just a little bit of myself and my sister, and they're eventually like, oh, that's cool. We only so we what we do is we take if you have siblings, we take them too. I'm like, oh wow, that's really cool. So could get my sister come here? They're like, yeah, absolutely. And they
No.
yeah so they and so part of me really wanted my sister to go there, and part of me like kind of didn't, because there was this 3 year separation between me and her. And when I was with my first family, like, like I was saying earlier, how they were just outcasting me to just favor her, that really kind of got to me. And they were trying to make me and her hate each other, because we had a really strong bond. We still do. Like, we were, really just we were just all we had, and we knew that, and we were really near together. And I realized that they were trying to break that up in any way they possibly could, and like try to make us hate each other, butt head. They'll literally set things in order just so that we end up like, an argument, or in like, what the heck is this? Or like, it was they were playing a real nasty game, and they knew it, I knew it. And sometimes as human, we still fall for things, we still get angry anyway. So there was times where I got angry with my sister, and like I'm like, come on, don't be like, stop feeding into their stuff. And she in her mind, she was just innocent. She really thought they really loved her and all this, and she was just falling for them. And so and that kind of eventually, after telling her so long, it kind of ticked me off. And I started like just kind of pushing just myself out of pretty much everybody and everything I knew. So therefore, I was kind of just I was in the middle, like yes, I want my sister here, and like I need her here because like she was the only person I could tell things I feel or talk to her. And she we were really open with each other and honest, at like unfiltered honesty, like there was nothing that was hidden or like suppressed so that nobody feels bad, or nobody feels kind of guilty. Or so I was kind of in the middle, like, but I didn't really tell him this. I just told him, yes, I want her here, just to see like if they were like playing games, or if they could actually make that happen. And eventually they do, like after getting in contact with the state. So like between all the stuff that happened and me being away from my sister 3 years, like I said, they moved on to her as an abuse. They abused her like really bad. So
God.
by the time these parents were contacting my sister to come to live with them and me, she was in a mental institute. Like, she's drugged up, on pills, on all sorts of fucked up shit just from the abuse, and they labeled her as crazy, psychotic, unlivable. And I'm saying this isn't even the doctors that said that. This is the first family that did all the shit to me. Moved on to her as soon as I was out of the picture, because abusers gotta abuse somebody. So and I had no idea she was even in all of this. And then just like as right after I found slight peace where I thought like maybe things could work, I'm back to just hatred in my heart, just anger, like I wanted to just go back to them and just honestly kill them all, because like the things they would that they did to her and that got to her a place like that, and
God.
stuff they put her on. And it was so sick. Like, it's honestly unbelievable. Like, and like to top it all off, they were on years later, I found out they were on Facebook joking about that shit that they put my sister through as a family friends on Facebook.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
Jesus.
and like there's part of me that still hasn't let this resentment go. Like I honestly don't know if I'm really even capable of letting it go. Just like it just crushed me, you know, like, 'cause like I was already crushed from them, what they did to me, but like, you know, once they did that to my sister, and once I found out about that and there was nothing I could do, and all those years, like I was so much in my own head that like I didn't even really think about my sister at all. And there was so much just emotions I was feeling that like I didn't really know what to even do, or like, you know, I was just pretty confused. And eventually, like, she comes to the house. She's all fucked up, like off drugs, I mean. Made her gain like the one of the things they were joking about was her weight, the which the pills caused her to gain weight, because you know, it's just one of these psych wars, like it's nasty, it's so sad. But yeah, she was so different, like just physically talking, like I didn't even recognize her. I was like, what happened? Like, and you know, she was, and that it fucked up her emotions. Like, pretty much just the real her was like, I felt like was gone. Like, she
Oh,
was so much in her head, like, I have to take my meds at these times, or else I'm gonna freak out. You know, all these false
yeah.
installments they made into her head and make her feel some way, or told her she's some way. It
Yeah.
was so crazy to me. Like, I honestly, like I was like, I felt so much pain. Like, I could, I don't know. I was like, wow. And like, and you know, like, 'cause it hurts so much because, like, you know, she wasn't actually any of those things they were saying she was. There was no reason for her to even see something like that, let alone experience it or go through it. And you know, she's only 15 and they're treating her this way. So I was at that point, like after 3 years and her being off drugs, you know, it was so hard to connect back to her. Like, she wasn't as somebody as I knew. And granted, I did change a lot over the years for better and for worse, but there was never a part of me that never stopped loving my sister, no matter, you know, the state I was in. But like, and I was trying to do all I could to connect with her, and you know, she there was it just felt like there was nothing to her, and that just made me more sad, and I didn't know what to do. So I try to tell her, hey, like, you don't need these drugs, you'll be fine without them. And that even pissed her off more. And you know, the doctors are saying she needs these current parents, like saying, oh, the doctors said she needs them, so she needs them. Like, you can't just make these things up. And I'm like, she's not sick. She has no reason to be taking these. These are what's literally killing her from inside out. And it felt like nobody knew that but me. Even like, it felt like even she didn't know it, because you know, she was just doing it. And eventually, like, it came to the point where like 2 years go by, you know, she gets to get better and better. We connect and bond more. Now she's getting back to our regular phases. She's cutting down her meds. Like, there was, because she was like on like nine different medications these guys had on her. Yeah. So she came down to the one medication by time like year two. And, you know, she was a lot better. We connected a lot more. And, you know, we're both getting older, growing up. And I just kept telling her, I'm like, Even this one med you're taking, you don't need it. You are totally
Mm-hmm.
fine just the way you are. There is no reason for you to take it. 'Cause it was, and I wasn't saying that to play doctor or to, like, 'cause it was, if you were there, like, you can see how it was hurting her. It wasn't helping her by any means at all. Like, it was literally just hurting her, like, just emotionally, mentally, physically. Like, it was horrible. And so eventually, as we get older, by time now I'm like a sophomore, she's a junior, or it's a freshman in high school, sorry. And she finally comes off of that. She was convinced that, like, she didn't need it, and it took her, it's gonna take your body a while to adjust things that you were so used to. And eventually we got back to, I got my real sister back, and I was so happy, like, and things were, like, looking good, like, because I'm going to school, like, there was no abuse, nothing like that, and I'm completely happy. And as I finish up my sophomore year in high school, I'm like actually kind of doing a little better in school now that I got space to think and learn things and actually interact with people. I was kind of start making friends, and I was able to hang out with those friends I made and my sister, all together, like, whether it was at school or whether we just went to the park. And so it felt good, like, been all these times, these parents are, they're still good. Like, they haven't really crossed any lines that were, unnormal, or, like, that they shouldn't be doing. So I was, life is good. So, yep. So that goes on for, like, end of my sophomore, or, yep, sophomore year. Comes out around 11th grade. I try to, now that I'm, like, mentally kind of stable, I try to get in a job. In order to get a job, I had to get my license. So I work on getting my license. And I get through all the, the schooling for that, all that crap. I get my permit, blah, blah. Then next, I go to take my test. This is like, and my so this is like summer of sophomore year. I go take my driver's license test, and they tell me, like, they won't let me test because they have no legal paperwork for me. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, there's, and then from there, it's just another shithole that put me back another, like, 5 years in life, where I was fighting the court. Because what happened was, when I first got adopted, I wasn't, the first family didn't adopt me right. They didn't, there was no paperwork. I wasn't even a citizen. I've been in the country for 6 years. I wasn't even a citizen yet. And therefore, now I'm like 16, almost 17. I can't get a job. I can't have my license. I can't do anything. And I'm stuck with this family in middle of pretty much nowhere, with really no real friends that I felt like, were, they were my friends. Like, it was just, they were nice people, but, like, it wasn't somebody I could be, I could, have heartfelt conversation with, or be myself and not be worried that they won't like me, or, if I acted a certain way. Because, like, I had a fit agenda. Like, I got good at the game fake it till you make it eventually, because it was just that, pretty much all of it. So that comes around, I can't get my license, and then I was like, okay, it'll be easy fix. I mean, all I have to do is go get like go show them my passport and they'll get it all squared away. And that battle turns into 5 years. So, or no, if not 5 years, it was three, it took 3 years and $1,000, like 1500 actually, from these parents' pockets to get my citizenship, because I had to get a whole new citizenship. I had to get a new social security number, because technically I was nobody. I was still a citizen of Ethiopia, like, and I had no idea. And like, even though that's the things I should have known by the age I was at, I never, it was never something I would thought of, because like, I've never really had to show an ID to somebody or try to get a job or a license yet, just yet, because I was dealing with all the other stuff. So that goes, and like, just fighting the state, they tell me go here, these guys tell me go there, those guys tell me go there, it's just back and forth. Nobody's helping, nobody's doing anything. So I'm just trying to figure this out, and these, they were so rude, like, these states, when I try to, like it's a really complicated process. Like, it's not something, you can get done like that. And so like, now I'm stuck with no license, no job, still no phone. So it's, I got back to just me being super angry, and like, why would they do that to me? Like, why? Because they had to know eventually we're gonna have to like grow up and get, like, there's no way like they didn't anticipate that, or I was like wondering, like, how was it even legal for them to do this, like, in the US? Like, how could I, like, how was I able to, how was I able to live this long in this country with no citizenship? It doesn't make any sense. And it turns out it's same case for my sister, and our adoption papers, my name's messed up. There was no last name on my thing. There was my birthday, just some made up random number threw up on me. Like, because in Ethiopia, I don't know, maybe in the rules are, I guess, I don't know if it's same in all regions, but like, in the Wolaita region, they like to lie over there about your age, so that you can get adapted easier, because when you're younger, there people are, I guess, inclined to adapt you more, as they say. I'm not sure if that's even true, but so so they lied about my age on there, and they brought it down low. I'm like, what the heck? Like you, there's, that's not right. And so that's on my legal adoption paper. And it just gets complicated, I, at this point, I just got in a dark world where I just turned to, to drugs, to alcohol, and try to ease the pain, the anger, the sadness, like the pity, like, I mean, I didn't know, and the only thing that kind of made me fine was the drugs at the time. So I did that for a while while still trying to fight the state, why I should get my solution, or how I could get it, or why I should get it. And that battle was, it was long, and honestly, like, so it took about 3 years, and all those 3 years I pretty much just rolled in drugs. Like, and this family, like, they were, they weren't super strict, so I could just get out of the house. I mean, I snuck out, like, it was easy for me to get drugs, or like, and like, I made friends with people that were just giving me free shit. I mean, and it wasn't, it was really harming me more than it was helping me. But like, at the time, like, oh, this is great. Like, I'll be your friend as long as, you can do this for me, which was fucked up on my part just as much as it was on theirs. But that story. So I get, and like being on drugs, it only made the pain worse, because I just started reflecting more and more, and like I just started feeling like I personally fucked up, like just being alive, or like even seeing these people in Ethiopia. Like I just wish I was with my brother and never saw them, and like had never anything to do with them, or my grandma never met them. And part of me, like, also, like felt I felt like obligated to, like to be somebody. Like, I mean, to this day, to be honest with you, I still do. Like, I feel like it's, I don't know, like, I was given that chance, I guess, not by these people, but like, I guess just being here, like, I feel like, I don't know, I've had this, it's just, I guess it's something in me that like feels like I need to be something or somebody or have some sort of status to feel validated, not just by me or the people. I don't really care about the people around, like, or the outside people that are looking in at me, but it's more for like the people back I've left at home, For them, I feel like I have to be something or somebody. Like I can't just be a druggie and like, and you know, like, and yeah, so that just made my head spin. So I was like, so I tried to quit drugs, and I was already at the phase where I was, pretty much addicted. Quit it, get back to it, quit it, get back to it, and was just living on that lifestyle. And what was also sad is like those drugs, they were killing like that core memory I had from Ethiopia. With there was like, because at one point, like up to I had a whole picture in my head of like my whole town. I could like swear I could walk it, I could map it out, like just the image in my head. I could draw, like I knew everything, but like it just started fading away, and like, and I was just so fucked up. Like I knew it was happening, I cared, but at the same time I didn't care, because like I couldn't see the purpose of holding on to it. It just felt like there was, it was so hopeless, like I can't make it worse or better at this point, so what am I doing type of feeling, like so those memories start fading. Like I lost a lot of memory, like, and it to this day it still hurts me like that I did that to myself and let go of those memories, because some of my most beautiful memories come from Ethiopia, and there was, I've seen some bad stuff there, but I've also seen some good stuff. And I remembered my family and my cousins and my aunt, uncles and aunts and nephews, but all that stuff, like I just started losing that picture from my image. Those, it was like a game I didn't even know I was playing. I was playing, and it just, so yeah, to this day that hurts me. And so eventually, like 3 years later, you finally get this stuff figured out. And at this point I'm like, I got that mindset. I'm like, I need to be better for myself and for my family at home and my sister. I need to graduate high school. I need to, get my license, get a job, and go to school, do something. So I kind of, I didn't cut off drugs completely, because it had hold on me, so I cut it off the most part where I was kind of stable, at least from looking at it from outside, so to say. So I was, that, so I get my stuff figured out, and this whole time we figured that it was same case for my sister. So I was already working with my sister, and like 'cause she was, from all the drugs I messed up, mess her up in her head. She had like that special ed teacher, whatever they call, like era, whatever, you know. She had those, and they were helping us, like helping us and her to get that citizen stuff along with these current parents. So they helped her to figure her stuff out, and I figured my stuff out. So I got my license. Well, actually, I got a job before I even got my license. I was just biking to places, and I eventually bought a like a iPod at the time, and kept working, and eventually got my license, and yeah, I got a job. And this third family I was with, there was things I was completely oblivious to, that I guess it wasn't even that. I just kind of ignored it because it was, I just figured it was a better situation than I was in before, or could be better than what's next. So there were some things I just let go, and I like, you know, I've been through worse, like whatever. But this family, like eventually, like 3 years later, like I had really no big time issues with them. I find out they were like really super racist. Like, it's kind of funny that they're taking in black kids while being racist.
No, Jesus
You
Christ.
know, it doesn't make sense. They were racist, but the thing about them was they weren't like showing that to us, at least not in the manner that it was so blunt you could see it and it's in your face, you know, like it was just only through diggings and people through people I started like connecting dots and figuring it out. Like they're like I even got contact with their son and his girlfriend at the time, and started like I'm like, whoa, like wow, okay. So
Oh my God, bro.
yeah, and at this point, like I'm 17, I got my license and then, and my sister is only a year younger than me, so I figured, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna ignore it for another year. I'm gonna fake it till I make it. I'm just gonna get the fuck out and just go live by myself at this point. So I did that, and you know, like as long as they played fine to my face at bare minimum, like I was just gonna let everything go, like say whatever you want behind my back and my sister's back, and but whatever. So yeah, that happened, and that just happens a whole year, and I hear more and more the wicked ways they were thinking or saying shit about us. And it was hard to fight or even talk back to them because they weren't physically doing it, or they weren't standing in front of us, which honestly was just more, it's almost just as sick as doing it to your face, just very coward crap. And so I ignored it, and a year goes by. I'm 18, I graduate high school. My sister's, and she's a senior now. I got my license finally. And or I got my license after I graduated high school, sorry, after my senior year. And my sister, so at this point I'm ready to like just go live out with Jonas, or there was a couple of Ethiopian people I knew that like I might be able to live with at least for a couple months, or I didn't even care if I lived under a bridge. I just don't want to be people that don't appreciate me, let alone just see me as a human being, or like just the whole race of humans as human beings. Like they were just more superior. Like I was, and I couldn't understand that. I never could can, but and I was just sick and tired of like just telling people how to act as just a kid, and like telling what's right and what's wrong. It just felt like I just thought like the whole country of America is just fucked up. So yeah, I waited for my sister to graduate, and she did. And as soon as my sister, she's experiencing all this stuff too. She's like, soon as she got off drugs, you know, she was on her right head. She's, you know, she was more vocal person than me. Like, she wasn't type of girl that like That would let things slide. There was times where I literally had a beggar to like, please, like, just don't, like, I just don't, for like your own peace, for our peace, like, it doesn't matter, like, but yeah. And but yeah, she wasn't scared of stepping on toes like I was, or like, being seen different, or being exiled, or like getting thrown out or something like that. She didn't give a shit. So I like, so I even had a, yeah, I had to hold her down to some times for that, which, made me feel guilty, because now I'm telling her she can't even have her emotions or express them, or just for the sake of other people, or it was just sake for our own peace, as how I was just, trying to protect us in the best way I possibly could or knew at the time, because there wasn't much we could do. We can't just walk outside and like, roam the streets. Like, the streets were, for us, they were just as unsafe as that house. So yeah, she graduates, and as soon as she graduates, she set everything up. She was just straight to college. Like, like, summer goes by, she was just gone. So then, and then that's when I see my opportunity to, like, because like I didn't really know she was just gonna go to college like that right away, because I don't know if she like how much she committed to stuff, that college lifestyle and stuff, because she wasn't very people, like, it was hard for her to get along with people for obvious reasons. So I was kind of worried about that, so I kind of like stayed back a little bit, just in case she gets in a fucked up situation where she has to come back. So I didn't want to, like, if she had to come back, I didn't want to leave her there by herself. So I kind of tried to play it smart, where I stayed back for at least like 6 months until she was in college, just so she can test it out and see if she can, like, go through with it and be able to stick to it and not like end up coming back. So, which she did. So then I finally, like, this whole time I was saving up money, so I my sister once I knew she was good in college, I moved in with my buddy, or my buddy's family, and I just continued to work there. I didn't really think about even going to school or anything at that point. I just wanted to figure my life out, be independent, and be able to take care of myself and my sister if it came down to that. So yeah, I just worked for a while. I was with his family. His family was, they were cool. I mean, I didn't really, care to connect with them or try to. I just did my thing and kind of stayed out of the way, and they were fine with that. So it was good overall. And eventually I got to the point where I just moved out, like, just by myself, and was kind of living on my own for a little bit. And I still had everything in my head. Like, I still had all these problems with me. It was just nobody there, like, abuse me or anything like that, or silence me, or emotionally or physically, hurt me. But I was still hurt just for my own self, and like, just reflecting on everything that has happened, and just thinking about like my grandma back and my brother. And I was trying to find out a way. I was, trying to find the contact with Jonas as well. And that wasn't very easy. It wasn't even easy to get contact with Jonas, let alone try to contact a very small village in Ethiopia. And so, still dealing with hurt and like with no answers. I had so many questions, no answers. Still got so many questions, really don't have answer. I don't know if I'll ever get answers to some of my questions,
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening to part two of the interview with Aptamu. To Aptamu, thank you. Thank you again. And I will also be releasing soon just kind of like the conversation that Aptamu and I had, you know, kind of after he, you know, told his story. I was going to add it all, but then I realized that it is a lot. And but we do get more into just kind of the details behind his experience, you know, and we just kind of also just talk about a personal experience, how they are similar, how they differ. Listening who may be interested in, you know, that sort of a conversation, and that experience. But yes, Aptamu, again, thank you so much. For those of you who want to listen to that, I will be uploading that shortly. And until next time, everyone, stay well, be well, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.